It's Pittsburgh Symphony Radio with a world premiere of Elektra, Symphonic Rhapsody, created by Manfred Honeck and Thomas Ille from the opera Elektra by Richard Strauss. Manfred Honeck has a few words of introduction for his Elektra Rhapsody, and he'll show us a photograph of Richard Strauss standing with the musicians of the Pittsburgh Symphony in 1904.
Last week, we performed Mahler's great Ninth Symphony. This week, we salute the 150th birthday of the most important German opera composer after Richard Wagner, Richard Strauss. Mahler and Strauss knew each other. In fact, Mahler's Ninth Symphony was finished in 1909, and Strauss' opera Elektra premiered that same year in Dresden. It is fascinating to know that Strauss visited Pittsburgh and also conducted this great orchestra. In this picture, you can see Strauss standing among our contrabass section. Today, you will hear the world premiere of a new suite that I have conceived to bring together the story of Elektra. The music is vivid, dramatic, and polytonal, and has enormous blocks of sound like granite stone. Strauss takes us to the edge of harmony and psychology with music that depicts a wild insanity, haunting nightmares, and an unrelenting quest of revenge.
Richard Strauss began work on Elektra in June of 1906. He worked on the score for 2 years. Like Der Rosenkavalier, the premiere took place in Dresden at the Semper Opera on January 25, 1909. In Greek mythology, Elektra was the daughter of Agamemnon, king of Mycenae, and leader of the Greek forces in the Trojan War. His queen was Clytemnestra. Clytemnestra is furious with her husband, who has sacrificed their daughter, Iphigenia. Clytemnestra plots revenge against her husband. Elektra and her sister, Chrysostomus, are forbidden to marry and have children. At the end of the opera, both of Elektra's parents are dead. Elektra has had a hand in their undoing, and she dies as the curtain falls. It's a searing emotional drama. The Viennese poet and dramatist Hugo von Hofmannsthal wrote a play based on the story. Max Reinhardt staged the play in Berlin in 1903. There were 90 performances and revivals in 1905, 1908, and 1909. When Richard Strauss saw Elektra, he thought it would make a great opera, meeting Hofmannsthal in 1906 to discuss the prospect. With 112 players on stage, it is the largest opera orchestra in the repertory. Ernestine Schumann-Heink sang Clytemnestra at the premiere. She referred to the horrible din of the orchestration. An editorial cartoon showed the audience squeezed into the orchestra pit while the players filled the rest of the auditorium. One critic predicted that Strauss' next work would also include 4 locomotives, 10 jaguars, and several rhinoceroses. Richard Strauss responded by saying of Elektra, "When a mother is slain on stage, do they expect me to write a violin concerto?" Here is Manfred Honeck to conduct the suite he created with Thomas Ille, the Elektra Rhapsody, symphonic suites based on Richard Strauss' opera Elektra.
Thank you.
You heard Manfred Honeck conduct his own arrangement of music from Richard Strauss' Elektra, the Elektra Rhapsody, a symphonic suite based on music by Richard Strauss. He created it with composer and arranger Thomas Illa. Thomas Illa was born in 1971. He is a graduate of the Prague Conservatory. He's a guitarist and composer who's written for film, theater, and educational activities. He earlier collaborated with Manfred Honeck on a symphonic suite from Janáček's Jenofa, which received a Grammy nomination as recorded by the Pittsburgh Symphony for the reference label.
He is a wonderful arranger. He has a wonderful ability to bring things quickly together. We were calling each other. Lofty lives in Prague, actually. And we were sitting together, had meetings and talking through all elements. What do you like to hear on our concert stage? After several meetings and after 4 or 5 months, he put it into the computer, which makes us enormous easy to print out the orchestral parts very soon after he has written the parts into the computer. So it's a very different process as it was, of course, 100 years ago when we had a lot of people who had to copy the music. So it's a little bit easier, but I'm very thankful for Thomas Illa. He did really a great job and helped me a lot.
The world premiere of the Elektra Rhapsody from Thomas Illa and Manfred Honeck, based on music by Richard Strauss, took place on June 13, 2014 at Heinz Hall. You're listening to Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. Jim Cunningham with you. Having just heard the world premiere of the Elektra Rhapsody without voices, we should hear just a few minutes of the original opera Elektra with a soprano who sang on many occasions in Pittsburgh, at the invitation of former music director William Steinberg. Her name, Frances Yend. Having sung around the world and at the Metropolitan Opera, Frances made her home just 90 minutes from Heinz Hall in Morgantown, West Virginia, where she taught for a dozen years and lived for 42. Frances Yend made her Metropolitan Opera debut on February 13, 1961. She sang Chrysotomus in Strauss' Elektra, along with Inga Bourke. Her husband of 54 years, James Benner, still enjoys hearing the Pittsburgh Symphony concerts, and the orchestra still travels to Morgantown at least 3 times each year to perform in the Kennedy Concert Series, sponsored by Bill and Lulie Kennedy in honor of their daughter Valerie. I visited James Benner at his home in Morgantown. I asked him to describe Frances' sound, and he told me that Frances had the enviable position of being a favorite of 2 notoriously difficult conductors, Fritz Reiner and George Sell. Frances, on one occasion, had to choose between them.
Frances was always the Beethoven Ninth Quartet for Sell in Cleveland, and he always booked his concerts so far ahead. And she had a booking with him for Beethoven Ninth, and it came at the same time as Reiner's offer to do the Elektra with RCA Victor in Chicago. Frances said to Columbia, "Please get me out of this." They said, "Well, now you're going there right now. You ask him. That's management for you." So she did, and he said, "That is a wonderful opportunity, Frances. And if the rest of the quartet can come a week later, I'll change the date." And he did, which is extremely unusual. Of course, he never let Frances forget it.
I wanted to ask you a very difficult question of describing the sound that Frances had. It's always difficult to describe the sound of a singer, but when you think of the sound she had, the kind of voice she had, how would you describe it?
Well, it's hard to describe, but I do think that there was a very definite personality in her singing, and you could not easily mistake her voice for anyone else's. That was rather typical of the period when she had her big part of her career. Frances had a very easy high voice. She didn't ever tire sitting in a high tessitura, and that's one of the reasons why something like the Beethoven Ninth, which though it's short, it's a killer for most sopranos because it's up there so long. She had a heavenly high pianissimo. That was a very special quality that she had. But the pianissimo had great focus in it, and it carried easily in the biggest halls. that high voice was a very immediately recognizable Francis quality, and it was so easily produced.
Francis Yen's husband, James Benner. Here is Francis Yen to sing the final scene from Richard Strauss' Elektra, with soprano Inga Bork, with whom she performed at the Metropolitan Opera. Fritz Reiner conducts. Recorded in 1956, Fritz Reiner conducted the Chicago Symphony Orchestra in the final scene from Richard Strauss' Elektra. Frances Yen has the last word as her sister, Elektra, sung by Inga Bork, has fallen dead. Frances Yen died in 2008 at age 95. She made many famous recordings, including several with Bruno Walter and with former Pittsburgh Symphony Music Director Fritz Reiner. I asked her husband James Benner if Frances had experienced the famous temper tantrums of Fritz Reiner. James Benner remembered that a bass player in the Pittsburgh Symphony had once trained a telescope on Fritz Reiner at rehearsal when Reiner asked, "What are you doing?" The player replied, "Trying to see the beat."
They got along wonderfully well, and she, every time that she sang with him, he always was very fond of Frances, and she had nothing but kind relationships with him, which was, he was notorious for antagonizing people, and his temper and all of that were famous. And isn't the Pittsburgh story the one where somebody came in with a telescope and said, "Maybe I could see your beat"? And somebody asked him once about why he had such a tiny beat. And then when he made a cue, he would have a big gesture of some kind, frighten people right off their chairs. But he was very minute otherwise. He said it makes people listen to each other. And that's a very good reason. But he was a notorious wisdom person about details of a score. He knew everything.
Pianist, vocal coach, professor at WVU, and husband of Frances Yen for 54 years, James Benner, proudly a West Virginian. Soprano Frances Yen sang with the Pittsburgh Symphony on at least 19 occasions, beginning in 1947 when Fritz Reiner conducted Brahms' German Requiem. She sang Messiah on many occasions with Vladimir Bakalinnikov in 1950, 51, and 52, with Russell Wickman conducting from 1955 through 1957, and in four more seasons from 1960 to 1963. West Virginian Frances Yend sang Beethoven's Missa Solemnis and Ninth Symphony with music director William Steinberg conducting. Former Pittsburgh Symphony music director Victor Herbert invited Richard Strauss to conduct in Pittsburgh in March of 1904. That visit also included a trip to Morgantown, West Virginia. There were two performances of Strauss' music in Morgantown on March 14, 1904. In the afternoon, Mrs. Strauss, Paulina, accompanied by her husband at the piano, performed 16 Strauss songs. That evening, Richard Strauss conducted the Pittsburgh Symphony in two of his tone poems, and Victor Herbert conducted music by Beethoven and Richard Wagner. When asking the country road to take him home, John Denver once sang that West Virginia was almost heaven. Richard Strauss was also impressed with Morgantown. He compared it to Bayreuth in Germany and said it was even more beautiful. You're listening to an All Strauss program from Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. We're celebrating the 150th anniversary of the birth of Richard Strauss in 1864. Richard Strauss' music has been important to the Pittsburgh Symphony all the way since that visit in 1904. Fritz Reiner conducted Strauss in Pittsburgh on many occasions and made some of his finest Columbia recordings of Strauss. Reiner recorded Ein Heldenleben, Le Bourgeois Gentilhomme, Don Juan, and Don Quixote here. Those recordings were reissued in April 2014 on compact discs. It's a complete set of all Reiner's Strauss recordings in Chicago with the RCA Victor Symphony Orchestra and with the Pittsburgh. We'll next hear Fritz Reiner conduct Don Quixote with three esteemed soloists, Gregor Piatigorsky cello, Henri Temyanka violin, and Vladimir Bakalinnikov cello. Piatigorsky was born in the Ukraine in 1903. He studied at the Moscow Conservatory and served as the principal cello of the Bolshoi Orchestra at age 15. But he was unhappy about restrictions on his travel and decided to escape to Poland on a cattle train with a group of artists who were shot at as they crossed the border. Just a few years later, Piatigorsky became the principal cello of the Berlin Philharmonic. Deciding to pursue a solo career, Piatigorsky was appointed to the faculty of the Curtis Institute in Philadelphia and moved his family to Pennsylvania. In 1949, he relocated to Los Angeles, at first teaching at UCLA, and in 1962, joining violinist Yasha Heifetz on the faculty of the University of Southern California. Gregor Piatigorsky died at his home in California on August 6, 1976, of lung cancer. His warmth, generosity of spirit, and larger-than-life personality remain in the hearts and minds of all who knew him. Piatigorsky appeared in a few Hollywood films. You'll see him playing the Swan by Camille Saint-Saëns in the movie Carnegie Hall. He made several screen tests while he was in L.A., and here he is trying out a cello, playing Bach and exchanging a few words with the violin maker in a music shop, then rehearsing for a recording session in a studio. The violin maker, his female assistant, and the producer are actors who've slipped from the documentation. The movie appears on YouTube. Maybe you can help me identify the actors. The clip originates from a documentary called Heifetz and Piatigorsky, produced by Kultur Films.
Mr. Kudler.
Stradivarius in the hands of Piatigorsky, and you ask Kudler how it sounds.
Stradivarius? Wasn't he a violin maker?
Yes, a great one, young lady. But his genius was shown even more in his cellos. Come, I'll show you.
But there are so many things I must ask Mr. Piatigorsky.
Mr. Kudler will tell you many more fascinating things than I could. I have to go to the television station to rehearse. Thank you. It's a fine work. Many people think that Chopin wrote only for the piano, but he loved cello, and he composed his great sonata, which he performed in his last concert before he died.
Very interesting. I must be sure and mention that on my program. Oh, and that reminds me, Mr. Piatigorsky, I haven't been able to check a single fact about you.
Ready for camera rehearsal, Mr. Piatigorsky.
That was fine, Mr. Piatigorsky. Now, how about the masks of Prokofiev?
Very well.
Gregor Piatigorsky, talking and playing in the movies in a film made in Los Angeles. We'll hear Piatigorsky in a moment, playing in Pittsburgh, Richard Strauss' Don Quixote with the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. He is featured on the recording along with violinist Henri Temnyanka, born in Greenock, Scotland, to parents who were Polish immigrants. Temnyanka studied violin in Rotterdam, Berlin, and Paris. He then enrolled at the Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia, where he studied with Carl Flesch, graduating in 1930. 1940 and 1941, Temnyanka was in Pittsburgh as the concertmaster for Fritz Reiner with the Pittsburgh Symphony. Violist and conductor Vladimir Bakalinnikov was Fritz Reiner's assistant conductor, often filling in when Reiner decided he was unhappy with the accommodations or the hall on tour. Lauren Mazel called him affectionately Bach. He was the reason Maestro Mazel's parents moved from Los Angeles to Pittsburgh so their son could continue viola lessons with Bakalinnikov. We hear Piatigorsky as the voice of Don Quixote with his solo cello, along with the viola, tenor, tuba, and bass clarinet depicting the comic sidekick Sancho Panza. Here is Fritz Reiner conducting the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra in 1941 at the Syria Mosque in Pittsburgh. Don Quixote by Richard Strauss. Don Quixote by Richard Strauss, recorded in 1941 at the Syria Mosque with former music director Fritz Reiner conducting the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. Our soloists were cellist Gregor Piatigorsky, violist Vladimir Bakalinikov, and the concertmaster of the Pittsburgh Symphony, Henri Temyanka. This Pittsburgh Symphony Radio broadcast began with music director Manfred Honeck conducting Don Juan by Richard Strauss. We celebrated the 150th anniversary of Strauss' birth with the suite from Der Rosenkavalier and the world premiere of a suite from the opera Elektra, created by Manfred Honeck and Thomas Ille. I'm Jim Cunningham. Thanks for joining me. Remember, there are only two orchestras in the world with their own internet radio service 24 hours a day. You'll find Pittsburgh on the Pittsburgh Concert Channel, WQEDFM.org. Listen. You can listen to this concert or any of the programs in this Pittsburgh Symphony Radio season on demand using your computer or smartphone. Write for your free program guide to Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. Manfred Honeck is captured smiling and waving at the East Liberty Presbyterian Church after a Music for the Spirit concert on the cover. The radio guide arrives along with the Pittsburgh Symphony program reading light. Having light, I hope to share it with you from Heinz Hall in Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh Symphony Radio, 4802 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA 15213. Don't forget to include your address and let me know what station you're listening to. Our address again, 4802 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA 15213. You can visit the website at psoradio.org or send email pso@wqed.org. Brian Savar is the digital production engineer for Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. Heinz Hall recording engineer Harold Chambers. Stephen Baum interviewed Manfred Honeck. This program was made possible by Pittsburgh residents Pat and Michelle Atkins, who underwrote in honor of Carlo University, Pittsburgh, with additional support by the Jack Buncher Foundation and the musicians of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra.
PRI, Public Radio International.